Good evening. Thank you, Rabbi Eisenberg. It's been a pleasure working with you for now 3 years, and this is my third and final shiur, unless Rabbi Eisenberg wants to fly me back from Israel to give shiurim in the future. This would seem to be my third and final shiur, so I'd like to thank Rabbi Eisenberg, the president of RZC, for welcoming me back a third time, and all the members and all the people here. I have a few caveats for this shiur. When I gave this title, I thought it would be quite a simple shiur to prepare. Little did I know that it was very, very ambitious, and this shiur could really be 3 or 4 shiurim. So we're going to try and paraphrase and fit in what should really be 3 or 4 shiurim into one shiur. I've noticed since being here for almost 3 years that there's a slight aversion to Kabbalah in America. So you're going to have to forgive me. This is a very Kabbalistic shiur. For things I don't understand, I will not explain, and we're just going to take it at face value, because it's not required to understand the way the Gra, the Baal Shem Tov, or whoever learnt that special din. It's not so important how they Kabbalistically learned it. And I want to mention the 3 Sfarim which are very useful for this shiur. One of them is in English, but so one is called the Gaon of Vilna and the Messianic Vision. Only the last 100 or so pages are actually about the Gaon, the Gra. The rest is actually how it all developed. The other sefer is, that was by Ari Morgenstern. The other sefer is Rav Svi Einfeld, Torah Tagra and Mishnah Tachasidut, the teachings of the Gra and the teachings of the Chasidut. The last 50-60 pages in the middle are about the Geula, and the other sefer is a sefer written by one of the Talmidei Agra called Kol HaTor, which is where the Gra or the Talmidei Agra writes his whole Talich, his whole process of how the redemption is going to be. So the rabbi mentioned that the next shiur in the series about Messianism and Zionism. So this shiur doesn't even ask that question. There is a lot of Messianism in this shiur. So Rabbi Liebtag will have to deal with whether that was correct or not next time the shiur is given. But right now we'll start the shiur. And a lot of what we're going to learn today is based on one pasuk. But to understand that one pasuk, we need to see the pasuk beforehand. And that is on page 2 at the top. Yishayahu Perek Samach. Those of you who have learned with me other things will know this pasuk, because I think we've mentioned it. I may have mentioned this pasuk already in the previous RZC shiur I did, and the one before that also. So we'll just see the first pasuk and then the second. The second one is really the one we want. Vamech kulam tzadikim, leolam yushu aretz, netzer mat'ai ma'aseh yadai liper, hakaton yeh le'elef, v'atzair le'goy atzum, ani Hashem b'itach ishena. So I brought a Tanakh from the academy. I came straight from the academy, so I had to bring this huge art scroll Tanakh. I would not dare translate to Yeshaya without an art scroll Tanakh, so here we are. So, verse 21, your people will be righteous, they will inherit the land forever, a shoot of my planting, my handiwork in which to glory. The smallest will increase 1,000-fold, and the youngest into a mighty nation. I am Hashem, in its time, I will hasten it. Now, even in English, that statement seems contradictory. In its time, I will hasten it. It being the redemption, Be'ita Achishena. On that statement, many, many, many quills were broken. As we say in Ivrit, Nishbaru Harbe Krumusim. That's the, I'm not sure if the expression is the same in English. But on this, the big machloka between the Vilna Gaon and his Talmidim and the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. So the Mesudat David says in source 2, and the second source on this page, Ani Hashem, I am the God, Asher yecholet biyadi, lachen bevor et ha'gula, I have the ability, and therefore, in the time of the redemption, imahel l'arbot ha'katan l'elef, v'asir l'goy atzum, I will speedily bring the small one to 1,000, and the young one to a great nation. All of this is very cryptic, and because it's so cryptic, it is very easy. I mean, I wouldn't make up these Perushim. The Gra and the Baal Shem Tov didn't make these up either, but they explain in their way. These Pesukim are very, very, very cryptic. So the Gemara says, I definitely think we've seen this Gemara in previous Shurim, and this is where the Gra gets his idea from. The third source on the page. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, En ben David ba, Ela b'dor shekula zakai. Mashiach only comes, Ben David only comes, in a generation where everyone is merits it. Everyone is a righteous person. Or kula chayav, or everyone unfortunately is the opposite. Everyone is chayav, or sinners. B'dor shekula zakai, where do we learn this from? How do we know the teaching that it, Mashiach will either come in a good generation or a bad generation? Dichtiv, as it's written, v'amech kulam tzadikim, your nation, they are all righteous. Kulam tzadikim le'olam yishu aris, then they will inherit the land when we are righteous. B'dor shekula chayav, dichtiv yira ki ein ish, no one is there. I will do it for my own sake to prevent a disgrace of my name. From that we learn that it's either that or that. It is two extreme opinions here. Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Ketiv Beitav, Ketiv Achishena. Hold on, there's a contradiction in this verse. I don't understand, says Rabbi Alexandri. He says the name Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It says Beita and it's time. And it says speedily. How can the redemption come both speedily and both in its time? Says the Gemara, Zachu, if they merit, it will come speedily. Achishena. Lo Zachu, Beita. If they didn't merit, it will come in its appointed time. Look on God's calendar in Shemaim. He's already set a time. The Gra mentions many different times on his calendar which can happen. We're going to see many times, and we're going to see that actually weird things happened in those years. I'm going to just throw out a few years which are important according to the Kabbalists, whether it be the Baal Shem Tov, whether it be the Gra, or whether it be the Arizal or the Zohar, or all these different things. We're going to see this in a second, but 1740 was an important year, 1781 was an important year, and 1840 was an important year. We will explain soon why. Okay. Says the Gra himself in Kol HaTorah, in the fourth source on the page. Bita Achishena. So this is written by, again, sorry, I should explain, this is written by Rabbi Hillel Rivlin Mishkalov. How do we know the name Rivlin? Why is it famous? The President of Israel is a descendant of Talmidei HaGra. I went to Yeshivat HaKotel, so on Hanukkah, they used to bring in speakers. They still do. They bring in speakers to talk about Chochmah of different things to elevate it. They do the religious side of the Chochmah Yevanit. And they brought Ruby Rivlin in. Maybe this was actually on Yom Rishon. This is on Yom Rishon. He spoke about the fact that he was a descendant of the Gra, and they have a Masorah. They have a tradition in their family. This contradicts the Gemara, because you're not supposed to sleep with your shoes on. But they have a tradition in their family to sleep with their shoes on. I don't know if he does it or not, but they have a tradition to sleep with their shoes on in case Mashiach comes in the middle of the night, and then they can get out of bed straight away, which is what we often did in the army. So if we had a roll call, we'd be able to get out as soon as possible. Not the same as Mashiach, but still important. Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Isn't he a descendant of a Talmud of the Gra rather than of the
Gra? Right. Oh, he's the descendant of Rabbi Hillel Rivlin Mishkalov, who is the author of this Sefer, who he claims these are all the words of the Gra. So Rabbi Hillel Rivlin Mishkalov was born in 1757, died in 1838. He made Aliyah in place of the Gra. We're going to discuss the Gra tried to make Aliyah a few times. He eventually tried and failed again. We're going to discuss why. There are a few thoughts why. It's very, very mysterious why he failed. And he claimed that he got onto the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And just as Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get into the land, the Gra himself also couldn't get into the land. But he replaced the Gra and made Aliyah in his stead. Okay, so we said here, B'keshe le divrei Chazal, ala pasuk bita achishena, zachu achishena, lo zachu bita, Amalan Rabbeinu, sof kosof, ein mikre yotze midei pishuto. Chazal, says the says Rav Hillel Mishkalov. Chazal explained, Bi'itach Ishena refers to when they merit, happens speedily, when they don't merit, it happens slowly or in its time. Says the Gra, our rabbi told us, our Rebbe, the Gra told us, Sof Kol Sof, a pasuk cannot be explained airy fairy, also has a pshat. Sof Kol Sof, a pasuk has its pshat as well. Shapshatu Shafiru Bi'ita Achishena. The pshat is that even in its time, it can come speedily. So what does that mean? The Gra goes on to explain, or Rabbi Hillel Mishkalov goes on to explain the Gra's teaching, that let's say the year of the Geula is going to be next year. It could have taken 30 years to happen. It could take 5 years to happen. It will still end at the same point. What Geula do we prefer? Do we prefer the drawn out Geula or the quick Geula? Obviously we prefer the quick one. What does Bi'ita Achishena means? It means that when it happens in its time, it can also happen quickly. That's how he teaches it. That's not how the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim understand this pasuk. We'll see that later. Umatai, Kshakatan, watch out for the Kabbalah now. Until now we haven't said anything Kabbalistic. Wait for it. Kshakatan, Yel Elef, when the small one will be to 1,000. Vatsayir, Legoy Goyatsum, and the young one will become a great nation. Hakatan, Vatsayir, Nemru, Alephraim. The small and the young one refer to Ephraim, Mashiach ben Yosef. Uchnoda, Shadargachi Gvoa, Shel Mashiach ben Yosef, Haba Bitruta Teletata, Hu Elef Pachot Echad, Haim Tatsats, Biyasod. Okay. Mashiach ben Yosef and angel Matatron, won't go into it. Matatron is Gematria of 999 somehow, and it's the same Gematria. Mashiach ben Yosef is 999, and that comes about, Mashiach ben Yosef comes about through awakening below in this world, through doing stuff in this world. The teaching of some Jews today of we need to wait for Mashiach to come and sit on our hands until he opens the door and knocks on our door and says, I'm here, is not what the Gra taught. The Gra said we had to be active, as did the Baal Shem Tov until a certain point, according to what we're going to learn today. Kshakatan yele elef, klomar, kshiagia b'maasav ad adaga sha'ad elef. Mashiach ben Yosef, the world down below, the Jewish nation needs to get to a certain level, and then we can get to the level of bi'ita achishena, to happen speedily. So we're going to skip to the last line of that source. Anu omdim b'chol tokef ad divrei apshat hapashut shedivrei haftachatecha. Ani Hashem bi'ita achishena. We explain this pasuk as the pshat, even though Chazal said there's a way of saying one or the other. The Gra doesn't, he disagrees with Chazal and says Chazal have this explanation, but there's also a way of reading it as it's written, b'ita achishena, in its time, or make it speedy. If they merit, it can go quickly. Okay, so here, who here has ever donated money to the JNF? Who here has maybe donated money to the United Israel Appeal? Okay. So what would you think? Who here has ever had kids who have made Aliyah and you've helped them make Aliyah? Okay. So we're going to the next source. We're going to learn that you are all, in some way, Mashiach ben Yosef. Says the Gra, that if you make Aliyah, help people make Aliyah, you become a miniature Mashiach ben Yosef. There are three ways Mashiach ben Yosef can appear in this world, and that's how what we're going to see now. Kol Kaf, sorry, this is also from the Kol HaTorah, Od Yosef Chai. Right, Yaakov asks, Od Yosef Chai, Atzmiuto Shel Mashiach ben Yosef, He B'Shosha Sugim. There are three ways Mashiach ben Yosef can appear in this world. Aleph, Mashiach ben Yosef Helion Hu Matat Sarapunim. There's a, again, this is a little bit Kabbalistic, we'll come back to the normal world in a second. There is a elevated Mashiach ben Yosef, that's the angel in Shemaim. Uchnoda Yosef Hu Matat Shnehem Mazira Ila'a. We're going to skip a little bit until the end of the line. So the first, or the second line. First one is this angel called Matatron, that's the elevated Mashiach ben Yosef. That's not really for us to understand. Second thing is, end of the second line, Mashiach ben Yosef HaTachton. Hu achad b'chol dor. In every generation, there's one guy who is a Mashiach ben Yosef. Give you a clue, The Gra's Talmidim thought the Gra was the Meshech Ben Yosef of that generation. Okay? Bechinat Tzadik Yosod Olam. What's interesting is that the Gra also teaches that who was the Meshech Ben Yosef of the generation of Bavel? Koresh. Who is it? Non-Jewish. Even non-Jews can be somehow a Meshech Ben Yosef figure. Because God told the Nevi'im, believe Koresh, he's my Mashiach. The Pesukim even call him a Mashiach, because he's the anointed one to be the one who guides the Jews back to Israel. Mashiach ben Yosef ha-tachton, hu echad b'chol dor b'chinat tzadik yesod olam, hazocheh lefi ma'asav, ulefi shor shenishmato lasot lishuat Yisrael. He will merit, according to his actions, according to the roots of his neshama, to cause salvation to the nation of Israel, pe'ulot Yeshua v'aramat kerem Torah b'toch Metoch Mesirut Nefesh. He is involved with lifting up the Torah and giving over his Nefesh for the Torah. I'm going to skip a few words because that's Kabbalah again. And end of the fourth line. And then you have something which is more relevant. I can at least say for myself, I'm not the Meshech Ben Yosef of this generation. I'm not the one of the generation. So who are we? Who could we be? At the end of the fourth line, Gimel, Meshech ben Yosef ha-sharui b'chol Beit Yisrael. There's a Meshech ben Yosef in all of the nation of Israel. B'chlal b'soj sherit Yosef, the remainder of Yosef. Somehow there's a Meshech ben Yosef in every Jew. Shneimar al kol Yisrael b'chol ish Yisrael b'frat. Or the whole nation of Israel, we as a nation resemble Meshech ben Yosef. And not only as a nation, also as an individual we represent Meshech ben Yosef. Hamekanen betatzad nitzotzin nishmato b'rabim b'mnei Yisrael anshei ma'aseh zochim la'asot b'kibbutz galiot. Those who are involved with Kibbutz Galiot, doesn't necessarily mean you have to make Aliyah. If you're donating money or you're supporting people in Israel, that also gives you the zchut. Kol hazocheh lefi ma'asav v'zchut avot la'asot b'oto ha'pulot shehen b'tchunotav shel Meshech ben Yosef. Hayhu nitzotz meshor shenishmato d'Meshech ben Yosef. If you connect to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Galiot, either by yourself making Aliyah or aiding others, you are a spark of Meshech ben Yosef. We all want Mashiach now. We can also ourselves be a shtickle Mashiach by helping others or ourselves making Aliyah. Kol echad lefi dargat hamasim. Okay, so when we envisage Mashiach ben Yosef or Mashiach ben David, we're more familiar with Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is this weird concept which we don't really understand. What is the job of Mashiach ben Yosef? So this is what the Gra teaches. These three things. In the last source on page 2, Yudah HaKali Shemeshvech Yosef Hu B'Shoshad Varim. His specific job was three things. Gilui Razei HaTorah, the revelation of the hidden Kabbalistic things in the Torah. 3, Kibbutz Galiot, in gathering the exiles. Biur Ruach HaTumah Min Haaretz, in getting rid of the impure things in the land. We're not going to go into that today. But what is Kibbutz Galiot? It can be explained in three ways. In the end of that, the same line, Kibbutz Galiot Hu B'Shosha Tafkidim. Meshech Ben Yosef is responsible for three things regarding Kibbutz Galiot. Binyan Yerushalayim, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Kibbutz Galiot, just the gathering of the exiles, Nefesh and Nefesh. V'kiyum Mitzvah Tetruot Baretz, and bring back the relevance of keeping the mitzvot connected to the land, Trumot, Masrot, Shvit, and all these different things. We're going to do something now. We're not going to see all of it. The Gra is very big into Gematria. So much so that he knows he can prove that he's somehow Meshech ben Yosef through the Gematria of his name. He goes back 4 generations. Meaning my son would say his name is Nehemiah Mordechai ben Yeshua Baruch ben Avraham Shlomo ben Mordechai. He would work out the Gematria, all of that, and be able to tell my son what his job is in this world. That's what the Gra believes. We're going to see that in a second. So he does that for himself, and we'll see that in the next source. But right now, how do you work out, how does he prove that that's the job of Meshech ben Yosef? It's a very nice idea. Simply through Roshei Tevot, the Gra is a big believer, I didn't bring this source here, that everything in the world can be found in the Tanakh. Through Gematrias, through switching words around, through Roshei Tevot, every single thing in existence for eternity can be found somehow through Tanakh. Whether it's through Gematria, whether it's through Roshei Tevot, whether it's through all the different ways we darshan things, everything can be found in the Torah. So we'll just see a few of the examples of that. to just understand where he takes it. And then we'll move on to the last line. So we're in the middle of the second line. Kol eile nirmazim b'psukim. Mi yale b'har Hashem. So he said that the first job of Mashiach ben Yosef regarding Kibbutz Galiot is the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says, Mi yale b'har Hashem. Hainu Kibbutz Galiot. That is the gathering of the exiles. What's the Rosh HaTevot of Mi yale b'har Hashem? Some of it is Mashiach ben Yosef. Mi yakum bimkom kodesho. Again and again and again, it's Rosh HaTevot Mashiach ben Yosef. And from that we learn, Talmidei HaGra learn that according to the Gra, the Mashiach ben Yosef's job is through doing these three things. Mashiach ben Yosef will come through us being proactive. If we aren't proactive, then Mashiach ben Yosef may never come. And if he does, he might even be killed by... Is anyone here Sephardic or Sephardi? Has anyone davened from a Sephardi Siddur before? If you look in the Sephardi Sidurim, in the bracha of Yerushalayim Mincha, there is a small print in the middle of it that you need to daven. You're not supposed to read the words, but it's a hint to what you're supposed to be thinking about. It says in almost all Sephardi Sidurim, not the art school Sephardi, but the real Sephardi Sidurim, you should have kavana that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't be killed by Armilus Harasha Sar Ha'erev Rav. That you should daven, this is, appears in the Zohar, should daven that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't be killed by Armilus, the angel of the Erev Rav, which I thought we left behind 3,000 years ago in the desert, but the Gra and Kabbalists and the Baal Shem Tov all think that the Erev Rav have something to do with the future redemption. Some people think that the Gra thought the Erev Rav were the Hasidim. We're not going to see that today, but that's not the point of today's learning. The point is that we're supposed to daven and be proactive. If we're not proactive, then Mashiach ben Yosef either won't come, and if he does come, it won't work out. This is all the job of Mashiach ben Yosef, and for us to be involved with it. Now we'll move on to just the last but one line, and I mentioned Koresh being Mashiach ben Yosef, and here it is explicitly in the Kol HaTorah. In the middle of the last but one line on page 2, V'lechen zeu b'tafkido shel Koresh, b'yudo shel Mashiach ben Yosef, misitra d'smola hayin midat adin, כוחו של משיח בן יוסף הוא המעשה הניסי בכל מעשה קיבוץ גלויות הבאים מיצירותו מלטטה. מידת הרחמים is משיח בן דוד. No matter what we do, that משיח will come. מידת הדין is we deserve redemption. That's when משיח בן יוסף will come. If we don't deserve it, then משיח בן דוד will come at some point, even if we don't deserve it, because God promised that would happen. משיח בן יוסף comes when we are proactive and deserve it. משיח Koresh, as the משיח בן יוסף figure, was supposed to help the ingathering of the exiles, which he did. He allowed the Jews to return, and he's supposed to be this miraculous helper, משיח בן יוסף, to speed up the redemption. So the question is, what I mentioned the year 1740, 1781 and 1840 as big years in the redemption process. 1,000 divided by 24 is what? Quick math. 41.66666, I believe. We are now in the 6th millennia. There were 6 days of creation. On the seventh day was Shabbat. Each millennia represents a different day. We are now in the last day. We are on Friday. Basically, we're now on Friday. We're getting closer to Shabbat, literally and figuratively. And as such, this last millennium is supposed to be the end. Sometime, even though more than 1,000 years ago, Rabbi Akiva already thought it was the end with Bar Kochba, but in the Kabbalistic and the Gemara, we know that the last 1,000 years is supposed to be Yemot HaMashiach in some way, Ikvat HaMashicha, however you want to call it. The Gra learns that 1740, this is how I always work it out, Tafshin Chet was, when the Medina was declared, it was 1948. So Tafshin, the round number is always the 40th year of each century in the Gregorian calendar. If we go back to Taf Kuf, that is the year 500 of this century, of this millennia, 500, that ends up being 1740 in the Gregorian calendar. Why is 1740 so important? Because if we Imagine a day being 24 hours. That means the 1,000 years, which represents the last day in the whole creation. You divide that by 24. That's 41. And then you get to 1740. Halfway through that millennia was 1740. That means it's Vatikin. That's the time for Vatikin. Meaning in the middle of the Jewish day. What's the middle of the Jewish day? After 12 hours of night, you get to morning. After 12 hours of day, you get again back to the night. So, morning represents the Geula, redemption. So we are now in 1740, in the middle of the fifth millennia. We are now reaching redemption. When was the Gra born? The Gra was born in 1720. At the age of 20, he realized the redemption is beginning. How did he know this? From the following source. Now, when I say how did he know this, again, someone can disagree with him. If you don't believe in gematrias, then it's not such a great proof, but he thought this was true. Rabbeinu Nolad, so on page 3. Rabbeinu Nolad, Bishnat Taf Pei. He was born in 1720. Be'elef HaShishi, in the 6th millennia. Ra'a b'zeh siman, hamrumaz, v'tikach miram hatof b'yada. He saw a remez to this from the verse, Miriam took the drum, the tambourine in her hand. Hataf is hey taf pei, which is the year he was born. Neged hasitra achra. Why did Miriam take the tambourine? Obviously, to fight the sitra achra. Yudoshel agram rumaz b'torah b'pasuk evan shleima b'pashuk kitetze. Hainu b'meah shishit she'b'elef shishu Rabbeinu sig nora de Mashiach ben Yosef. In that generation, Mashiach ben, the Gra suddenly achieved the lights of Mashiach ben Yosef when he was 20, quite a young age, become Mashiach, but not bad, if I say myself. Shnat ben kaf shana b'shnat taf kuf hainu ma'ashah rishona shel or boker. From the first hour of the morning, if you think that every hour, because again, 1,000 divided by 24 is 41 and 0.666, 8 months. Ma'az echel dor acharon, and that was the last generation for revelation. He somehow became, Yaakov Avinu. I'm again lost, but that's not the point. Ubedor tachonim, says the Gra in the second paragraph of the first source. Ubedor tachonim says, the teaching the Gra, Gama Ari, Hakadosh v'tamidav, Tamido hamiyuchad, Rabbi Chaim Vital, Varav HaKadosh Baal Or HaChaim, Hayu Batoria de Meshech Ben Yosef, the Arizal, Rabbi Chaim Vital, the Or HaChaim, they were all somehow somewhat Meshech Ben Yosef. V'dorchon Zer Rabbeinu Gra, Nora de Meshech Ben Yosef, Asher Oro Holech Lefaneinu. Holech V'or Ad Nachon Hayom, the Gra is going before us like Meshech Ben Yosef. V'zachu Gam Achadim Et Hamidav, Asher Mekayimim Mitzvotav B'Chazon Tzion. Chazon Tzion was an organization which the Gra set up for his Talmudim to make Aliyah, because again the Gra didn't make Aliyah, he tried to. We're going to learn in a second why it didn't work out. This is new research, and this, I will say, I'm not sure if everyone would agree with what I'm going to say why the Gra didn't make Aliyah, but according to this Sefer, there is a specific reason. So the Or HaChaim hints towards that as well and learns about this year. These years are mentioned all over. It's not the Gra's Chiddush in the Zohar, in many Kabbalistic sources. The Gra wasn't the first one to say it. Okay, so how did the Gra know all these things? How did he know he was right? He learns it very specifically. In the last source on page 3, and then we're going to move over to the Baal Shem Tov. V'chol yidiotav in the bold, Shal Rabbeinu Baruch Kodesho, Smichin al Remizin Kaddishin, B'Tanach u'V'Chazal, B'Nigla u'V'Nisar. All the things he says rely on holy hints in the Tanakh and in the words of the rabbis, revealed and hidden. V'chol atzmo amar Rabbeinu, Shepetorah Murmaz, Shumo B'Pasuk, Evan Shleima, V'Tzeg Libesof, Rosh HaTivot Eliyahu Ben Shlomo, Shem Aviv, Shlomo Zalman. ובפסוק השני לזה כתוב על מחיית המלך. We're going to move on a second. וזה משווה לפסוק והיה כי תבוא אל הארץ ונתתם לכם מצוות התורה בארץ אשר קיבוץ גלויות תלויה בברכת שנים. He learns all these things from Rosh Tevot and Gematria. He knows his tafkid. So if only the Gra was alive today, I would say my Jewish name. He'd be able to tell me if I should be giving a shir to the RZC or to Skokie Kola right now. He will be able to tell me what my job is right here in Chicago. But unfortunately, the Gra's not here. So hopefully I'm in the right place. V'chor remes hayat, last bit of the pasuk of this source, I'm sorry. V'chor remes hayat gadol v'kadosh be'inav, k'urim v'tumim al-pi chazal. Every remes, every gematria which he learned about someone, for him, it was like the Urim v'tumim. We know in the time of the Mikdash, when we still had Urim v'tumim, they would go to the Kohen Gadol, the letters would light up and spell out things. For the Gra, gematria was literally like the Urim v'tumim. Not literally, there's a kafir like the Urim v'Tumim. Api Chazal, Shma Garim. One's name causes you to do things. Right? There's a, I know it happened to me when we were naming our kids. We had names in mind the night before the bris or the night before the naming. We changed our minds. I don't know if that happened to anyone else. But Shma Garim, one, when you choose someone's name, that affects what they're going to do. That's the power of parents. And the Kosh Baruch is supposed to guide us with when we do that. Hainu Hashem gorem l'chol achad l'dat et shlichuto min ha-shmayim. The Gra saw his shlichut as revealing the Torah, the hidden Torah, revealing, being involved in Kibbutz Galiot and getting rid of the Tumah. The Gra, when he was in Lithuania, in Poland, he decided on the last time that he was going to make Aliyah. Now, if you are in Eastern Europe, which direction do you go on the compass to get to Israel?
South.
He went west to Amsterdam. Completely the wrong direction. This book suggests the reason he went to Amsterdam was to reveal all the hidden Torah. Because there were supposedly lots of books, because Amsterdam had a big printing press, there were lots of Kabbalistic books, which he needed access to answer all these hidden questions that he had, which he didn't get an answer to. He ended up in Amsterdam, and the Sepharim were not there. From that he understood that God didn't want him to reveal the end right now, didn't want him to make Aliyah. As such, he passed on that shlichut of making Aliyah and the Kibbutz Galiot, active part of it, to his Talmidim. That's the suggestion he makes. It is very obscure. The Gra never tells anyone. We don't have any writings. When he's asked by his children, it's very obscure. He doesn't really want to speak about it, according to Ari Morgenstern's Sefer, at least. So now we did the Gra, we're going to summarize everything. After seeing the Baal Shem Tov, we're going to summarize. When Mashiach doesn't come, and you've guessed the date, what are the reactions? We know after Shabtai Tzvi, not only many people lost their faith, but it caused a mass hatred of Kabbalah. Kabbalah was burnt on the streets. People were accused of being Sabbateans, of being Shabtaim, of supporting Shabtai Tzvi. The Ramchal's books were burnt. As such, the Ramchal, this is what they say at least, the Ramchal wrote his non-Kabbalistic book, Mesilat Yesharim, Pathways of the Just, to prove that he's a normal Jew. To give himself again a hechsher to be a normal Jew. But it was a terrible, terrible, terrible time. We're going to now turn over. These are a quote from this book. Hasidic responses to the non-advent of the Messiah in 1781. When messianic expectations linked to a specific end time are unrequited, the resulting messianic crisis creates a reaction. Digging in and reinforcement of old attitudes, a change in outlooks, or various degrees of disappointment that may escalate into crisis. These reactions, we know. I hope I don't offend anyone here, but we saw this also with the death of the Rebbe, that different people took different stances. Rabbi Yosef Cohen, who was the chozer of the Rebbe, who believed he was Messiah, after the Rebbe passed away, he admitted he was wrong, and moved on with life, and now fights messianic Chabad, because if the Rebbe's dead, then he can't be Mashiach. That's at least how most people teach. These reactions occurred after the messianic crisis in 1840, we mentioned that year, and 60 years earlier, when the 1781 deadline expired. Why is 1781 important? Because again, we said an hour in a millennia is 41 years, an hour after 1740 is 1781. The Gula has to start not just as soon as the light comes, but when there's a little bit more light. We're not going to learn why, but that's what they taught. When 1781 passed, with neither the Messiah's fluttering banner nor the blast of his shofar, several possible responses might be predicted. The first is a severe crisis of faith that could spiral into conversion out of the faith. The sources, however, provide no evidence of such an occurrence. The second response is apologetic. To head off a crisis of faith, the end reckoning is held to be true in principle, even though it did not come to pass, and is corrected and reset to the near future. And we're not going to see that sheeted today, but that's what they did. They moved it forward again to 1797, giving them a few more years to play with. Again, it didn't happen in 1797. And the third, it may be conceded that the means of fulfilling the messianic hopes were not appropriate, and the alternative ways of assuring the Messiah's arrival should be sought. The post-1781 Hasidic literature invokes the last two responses. An example of the third type of response is the Baal Shem Tov's Egeret HaKodesh, which dampens the Messiah now urge. The Maggid of Mezrich, which is the Baal Shem Tov's main Talmud, evidently embraced this new outlook unreservedly during the Baal Shem Tov's lifetime. Reasoning in the wake of what the Besht had said, that the focus on personal redemption and that national redemption should be repressed. In contrast, as I've shown, many propounders of Hasidism in the Baal Shem Tov circle, including Yaakov Yosef Al of Polonoi, we're going to mention him in a little bit, and even some disciples of the Maggid of Mezrich, favored the continuation of messianic action and attempted to hasten the redemption in mystical ways until 1781. They apparently relied on the end reckonings of Emmanuel Chai Riki, who we're going to see as one of the Sephardim, who had apparently cemented his status as the most authoritative Kabbalist in the interpretation and tradition of Lurianic Kabbalah. So before 1781, Hasidim were already making Aliyah. The Baal Shem Tov himself tried to make Aliyah when? In 1740, the same year that the Gra suddenly realized that 1740 is such an important year. The Baal Shem Tov's boat crashed in Constantinople, in Turkey, and then he had the vision from his rabbi. Who is the Baal Shem Tov's spiritual rabbi? I only read this recently. Achia HaShiloni, who was one of the Nevi'im in Beit Rishon. I don't know why. I'm not enough of a Hasid to know why his spiritual rabbi was not one of the main Nevi'im. Achia Shiloni, I can't tell you many things about him, but he was his teacher. We're going to see that in a second. So he made Aliyah, or tried to make Aliyah in 1740. When he had this vision, he understood things had to be done differently. There's a machloket. The problem with the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov, many of their philosophical teachings were written down by the Talmidim. So there's a machloket in the Talmidim, there's a machloket even between these two Sefarim of how things actually transpired. It becomes clear that after 1781, the Hasidim who were still making Aliyah were not doing it for messianic reasons, they were doing it to get away from pogroms. After 1781, most of the Hasidim who were making Aliyah had left the idea of Mashiach behind. Meaning they still wanted Mashiach, but the reason they were making Aliyah was not for Mashiach. What they were doing was going and making the Baal Shem Tov's Baal Tshuva movement into the big thing. And that's how they could fix the situation. Okay, so we're going to see that teaching on the next page. The Toldot Yaakov Yosef. The Toldot Yaakov Yosef was written by Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Mepolna, who we don't know when he was born, but he passed away in 1782, and he quotes the Baal Shem Tov. Od shemati b'shem Maria Baal Shem Tov. I heard the name of the Baal Shem Tov. We are now on page 5. Shalach b'nesiyah ha'yidua. There's supposedly in Chassidut, ha'nesiyah ha'yidua is the known phrase for the Baal Shem Tov's trip to Israel, which didn't work out. Hiralo Rabbo, because he crashed. Hiralo Rabbo, who is his rabbi, Achia Shiloni, obviously. B'makom ze hayam rumaz hanesiyah shayu nosim Yisrael b'midbar. His travel to Israel was like when the Jews were traveling in the Midbar. V'chol hanesiyot ha'adam rumaz b'Torah. All the travelings of man are hinted towards in the Torah, all the different journeys we all... And the journey I am today, it's that journey that they were walking in the Midbar. This journey tomorrow is another journey in the Torah. When his boat broke, he was very sad. His rabbi came to him again. V'tama alav, he found it a little bit strange. V'ralo be'eze olamot hu achshav, he showed the Baal Shem Tov what level he was on at that point. Achshav v'ayu shemot ehye v'tzirufei ehye v'gomer. V'az t'chazek b'libo l'mitkan b'sharsha ki yadua lo. God showed him, not God, Achi Hashem, and he showed him the name of Hashem, Ekiye Asher Ekiye, Aleph Yud, Aleph Hey, and then Yud and Hey, Eye, I will be what, Kesar Asara, what will be, what will be. We know that pasuk from the next source on the page, V'yomer Elokim El Moshe, Eye Asher Eye, V'yomer Ko Toma Lifnei Yisrael, Eye Shalchani Elechem. I have never spoken to Achia Sheloni. The Baal Shem Tov spoke to him many times. He understood from this teaching that you thought that the redemption would be Bederech HaTeva, like the Gra thought, we have to work on it. It's not like that. Just as Gulat Mitzrayim, the redemption in Mitzrayim was miraculous, so too the redemption in our present redemption, which we're still working on, will also be miraculous. It can't just be with us building a house here, building a house in Amona, building a house here, Beit El. That's not how it works. It has to be miraculous. And what is the limitkan? In the last line of the first source, limitkan, to fix things. The Baal Shem Tov Chassidus is big into halat hanitzotzot, the uplifting of these sparks. Fixing everything which is bad. Everything which was in Mitzrayim was for the good of the Jews. If you look in the last source, Degel Machane Ephraim, the Machane Ephraim was famous for being the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. He wrote this, Yesh Kal Gadol, Mavi Adoni Zkeni, my father, my master, my grandfather, Ki Mina Makot Atzmam She Mitzrayim Naaseh Rufa Al Yisrael. From every makah which was done to Israel, to the nation of Israel, to Mitzrayim, I'm sorry, something good came of it for the Jews. V'ketzad, b'makadam hayel Mitzrayim, Mitzad Hashem ahiyeh. He goes on to explain that before the makah of Dam, we weren't Adam yet, and through the makah of Dam, we became Adam. And then he goes on, importantly, to the middle bit. He goes through every single makah, how it brought good things to the Jews. We want the one thing which is choshech. So we're going to go to the middle bit. Ki choshech hu bechinat hashichecha. The middle bold bit. Ki choshech hu bechinat hashichecha. Darkness is a forgetting. It's also the same letters. Asher zeh haya galut Mitzrayim. The Jews forgot God in galut Mitzrayim. We were very far away. That is darkness. What did God bring in place? What do we know that happened in makat choshech? The Jews were given light. Just as in that redemption, the Jews turned everything bad into good, or God allowed us to do that. So too, in the redemption, the present redemption, the Baal Shem Tov teaches, everything is on a level that has to be from bad to good. Forget about the building of the land, forgetting about revealing the good. The Rebbe, of whichever Chassidus you're part of, needs to go out into the nation, and any bad thing he finds, he needs to turn to good. That's the job of Chassidus. That's what they need to be concentrating on. After 1781, after 1740, whichever one we read into the period of time, that is the teaching they say. The Magen Mezrich says something similar. In the fourth line of this source, the Magid Rav Yaakov, the Magen Mezrich, is not so clear. Sorry, the end of the third line. V'hinei b'yitziat Mitzrayim hayu shtei ta'anugim kivyachol b'yasod. There were two ways of what was going on in Mitzrayim. Dayinu, middle of the fourth line, lenagef et Mitzrayim, to smite the Egyptians, v'gam latzil et Israel, and also to save Israel. Every makah came to either hurt the Mitzrayim or to save the Jews. V'ne yesh od tanug shlishi, yoter gvar. There's a third thing which can happen from the higher than the other two. V'hu al shem v'nagav Hashem et Mitzrayim negof v'rofo, that he healed us and hurt the Egyptians. He turned everything away, around. And now, just because it sounds very airy-fairy, and I've brought sources which aren't very clear, this book, Rav Svi Enfeld, tries to summarize everything, and it's here, that's the last source on page 6. Lachem, kasher nodalo, when on page 6, the last source. When the Baal Shem Tov knew, Nodalo, Shasheva Yorad Min Shemayim, who's there? Shel Hashem Aleph Haya Eye, Sham Shem HaMegaleh Et HaRachamim HaGmurim VaTov HaShulchim B'chol Ra, the fact that there is good in every bad, Kmo Shezeira B'Golut Mitzrayim, as it was in Gulat Mitzrayim, everything which was bad, good came out of it. That's what we're taught. Hivina Baal Shem Tov Shenimsu Lo HaMavtechot Lishtatev B'Tahalich Zu. He understood that he also needs to be a part of this, of discovering the good in every bit of bad, going out there and bringing the Jews closer to God. Obviously the Gra thought it's important to bring the Jews closer to God. We're going to understand why he didn't think that was part of the redemption process though. We're going to see that in the summary in a second. V'abadotahi imken la'alot en intasot al sechel ra. He wanted to turn every bad into good, and that is what Chassidus is about today. Much of Chassidus is about turning all the bad, being makdish everything, making everything holy, turning for the bad to good. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov was into as a way of bringing the redemption. And that's what his Talmidim taught, especially after 1781, when again Mashiach, even though it was the appointed time which they had learnt from this guy or this guy or this Kabbalist who'd said that time or this time, again it didn't happen. So they began to put a dagesh on Baalei Tshuva. This is the way we're going to bring redemption. Okay. But how does he understand the verse Be'ita Achishena? Again, the Gra, we're now on page 7. The Gra taught Be'ita Achishena meant what? That, let's say the Geula is going to come in 2030. It can start tomorrow, and that's a long time to wait. Or it can start in 2029, and it'll take a year. That's what Be'ita Achishena means. But what do the Morei HaChassidut say? What do the teachers of the Chassidut say? We won't see this inside, but this is the Sofnat Paneach. This is again the same Rav Yaakov Yosef Mepolna who passed away in 1782. One of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. When Moshe was fighting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that we don't need a Sheliach, you do it yourself. Why was he doing it? Because he thought that just like in the time of Bavel, when God said 70 years and then it's up, he thought it would again be like that in Mitzrayim. Why? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu said 400 years. When 400 years are up, the Jews can just walk out. And that's what Shevet Ephraim tried to do. They just tried to leave Mitzrayim. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu thought. God told him, no. It's before the time. It's redu. It's after 210 years. Therefore, I need a shiliach. Be'ita, don't need nisim. It will come on its own. But to speed things up, you need Nisim, you need Baalei Tshuva, you need people being active. So in the same way, the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov agree. To speed things up, you need to be proactive. The difference is that the Baal Shem Tov thinks that the present redemption can be brought forward. And the Gra says all those bringing forwards are finished. We've passed all those chances. The only thing we can do is speed up the process. The end date will be the same, but we can speed up the process. The Baal Shem Tov thinks, no, Achishena means literally we can speed, like the Gemara said, we can actually speed it up. But not in the same way. The Gra said we speed it up. Sorry, the Baal Shem Tov thinks we can actually bring it forward. The Baal Shem Tov, the Gra, thinks we can just speed up the process. But again, the ways of being proactive are different also. The Baal Shem Tov taught through being Baalei Tshuva, the Gra, not that he doesn't want people to be frum, of course he wants people to be frum, but the way to speed up the redemption, to make it a faster process, is three things, which we mentioned were revealing the hidden Torah, in gathering the exiles, and getting rid of the impurities, whatever that means. We're going to miss out the next one, but this is what's important to realize, is even though the Gra is very much based on the Arizal, on this, he disagrees with the Arizal. And this Shara Psukim is written by the Talmidim of the Arizal. We'll understand what we understand. Hakatani el elef v'atzir lo goyetzum, the last source on page 7. Hinei en ben David ba, ad shichlu kol neshemot shebeguf. The Gemara says another condition for Mashiach ben David this time. How can Mashiach ben David come? Until all the neshamas get out there. What does that mean? The Baal Shem Tov teaches that from Bayit Sheni until now, we are all Gilgulim. We are all, anyone who is born is a reincarnation of neshamot which existed in the time of Bayit Sheni. So that means my child who's supposed to be born after Pesach is a reincarnation of someone from Bayit Sheni and beforehand. Until all those people have been reincarnated, Mashiach can't come. So how do we bring that forward? We know in the time of Mitzrayim what happened. What was a normal birth for a Jewish woman in, according to the Midrash? Six kids. Wonderful. Says the Arizal here, if we repent and do tshuva, God will cause all the women to have six kids, and then that, I'm not blessing that on anyone, God will rush that birth, God, more women will have even more children, and that will bring the redemption closer. If that doesn't happen, then everyone will have normal births, one kid, two kids, three maybe even, but not six kids, and that's what we need to do. We need to be doing tshuva to speed up that process of bring out all the good in the world, bring out all the neshamot in the world. The problem with this statement is, it says it in the Gemara, and the Gemara seemingly ignores it. He understands this pasuk, this Gemara, completely, completely, completely different, in not a Pashtani way. He doesn't think we need to rush to do tshuva to bring more kids into the world. He thinks it's very different, and we're going to see that in a second. And this is the summary. Please turn over. Now it's more passionate. Everything is in English now, almost everything on this page. And then we will move over shortly to the Sephardim. Okay. This is a summary. Hopefully this will make it more simple. I think almost all the Kabbalah is taken out of this page. So now it's more understandable. So the Gra, how to bring the Geula. One, revealing the hidden Torah. Two, in gathering of the exiles. Three, getting rid of impurities. The Gra was a big believer in what? Natural redemption. Just as nature is slow, so too the redemption will be slow. We don't need to rush it. Kima kima. The fact that that Mashiach hasn't come yet since 1948 doesn't mean we just give up. Through achieving the three posters of Mashiach ben Yosef, we can speed up the process. The redemption now can only happen b'ita. Our deeds only cause the redemption process to happen quicker, but will still end on the same date. Why does the Gra not think tshuva helps the redemption process? He only thinks these three things. Because the Gra's idea on how the neshama is connected to God is completely different. There are so many, through learning this, preparing for this shiur, I revealed how many disagreements there are between the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov, and it's incredible. They disagree on almost everything. One of them is where our neshama is. Our neshama, we cannot damage our neshama. Our neshama is in Shemayim. It's up there. I mean, we may sense it down here, but it is completely connected to God up there. As such, repentance won't help because our souls are still 100% pure. Therefore, we should still repent. We should still do tshuva, but that won't aid the redemption process. What will? These three things. We'll move over to the Chassidut. Again, not everyone agrees with what I'm about to say in the Chassidut. There are lots of different schools. There's lots of different ways to understand the Baal Shem Tov in his different writings. But this is how I've understood it. How to bring the Geula. Since the Geula didn't happen in 1781, then it's only through tshuva. And maybe even then, natural tshuva won't speed it up. And now the Rebbe, whichever Chassidus you're in, Chabad, Gur, whoever you are, needs to work on the individuals. Miraculous redemption, it needs to be sudden. And that's why when 1781 happened and there was no Mashiach riding on a donkey, that's why Hasidim had a problem. For the Gra, for Mashiach not to actually come on 1781, in the year of 1781, 1740, 1840 is not a problem. Why? Because the Gra thinks it's a slow process. We're going to see in a second, someone very important was born in 1840. Someone very important indeed, it was the person who set up this organization, Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Reines. So, okay, someone being born doesn't actually mean he's done anything yet, but one of the very, very important people for this organization, for Tzionut HaDatit, was born in that year. Did the Gula happen in 1840? No. Did it happen in 1940? No. Did it happen in 1948? No, it still hasn't happened. But that shouldn't dissuade us, because the Gra thinks it's a natural process, whereas the Baal Shem Tov teaches it's a split second of redemption. And if it didn't happen on 1781, even if Rav Reinus was born in 1840, even if something special happened in a certain year, there needs to be Mashiach. We haven't seen that yet. Next level, through causing national redemption, we can expedite both the beginning of the redemption and the process itself. Bita, when all the spirits that need to come into the world have arrived. Achishena, repentance and turning all bad to good will allow the former to happen quicker. And this is why he thinks repentance can speed up and bring closer the redemption. A Jewish soul is a result of the connection of the heavens to man's actions. As such, man's repentance can affect the redemption. On this issue, the Chassidut and the Arizal agree, and the Gra is the odd one out. The problem is that the Gra needs to explain the Gemara, which says that Mashiach will only come until all the spirits are revealed. It explicitly says that. The Gra can't just ignore a Gemara, and this is how, this is the first arrow on the left. The Perusha Gra le Tikkuni HaZohar. All the Torah which is said now, I've given this shir. This shir was said thousands of years ago. Not exactly, but it was said before. My Torah is not new. This is not a new creation. Any Torah which is being revealed now is a former Torah. Just like the Baal Shem Tov says, anyone who is born now is from a previous life. The Gra says, it's not actually talking about people who are born. It's talking about Torah. Any Torah which is born today is old Torah. We need to bring out all that old Torah which is ever learnt. And that is what will bring Mashiach. As such, the Gra, when he went to Amsterdam to find that one little bit of Torah which he needed to finish the job, to reveal all the Torah, when he couldn't find it, he understood that God said, it's not your job right now. And that's why he went back to Vilna and appointed his Talmidim to finish the job. And what about being machzir, everyone mature, bringing everyone closer to God? We did talk about the neshama being connected to God and therefore can't be damaged, but there's another reason why, and that's the last source on the page on the left. The Gra and Mishlei writes, V'zeu gal el Hashem ma'asecha, reveal to God your deeds, kromar. Achshav, ein lanu lehalech b'gdolot v'niflot. Now is not the time for us to do amazing things. To turn the good into bad, the bad into good. To be machzir, everyone mature, to do, start this huge Baal Tshuva movement. That's not our job today. Ach, lirot shiyeh ma'asein el Hashem. We need to just make sure we're doing the right thing. We don't need to start this revolution like the Baal Shem Tov Baruch Hashem started. The Gra didn't think that's what was needed. We need to concentrate on three things. Hainu lefi ratzono yibach. We need to just make sure we're doing God's will. Now if we just turn over, I found on jewishhistory.org.il, which I believe is, it's the sign of the Histadrut, of the world's Zion, of the all Zionist organization. So I assume it's run by them. The icon is that icon, so it's run by them. These are the things which happened in 1840. The Gra, in another place, said that it starts in 1740, and then there's another further start in 1840. What happened in 1840? This isn't on the calendar. When I was looking up about Rav Reinus, I noticed he was born in 1840. So he was born in 1840. What else happened in those things? There were different on the right bit. In England, Lord Henry Palmerston started trying to get the Ottoman Empire to allow Jews to get in. He was non-Jewish. Jews were being made for the first time lords and sirs and given appointments in Britain, royal appointments. And that was a big thing for Rav Zvi Hirsch Kalischer, because he thought only when the Jews have power are they going to be able to bring the redemption. There was the Syrian, the Damascus affair, where Jews were stripped of their rights and were taken. There was a blood libel, basically. There were massacres, there were different things, and that was on the Rav Yehuda Alkali in the bottom of the left over here. He starts printing things. What's amazing is many of these things happen because someone believes 1840 is going to be the year, so they actually proactively turn 1840 into the year. I mean, Rav Yehuda Alkalai thought 1840 was going to be the special year, so he did something proactively to make 1840 that year. The Baal Shem Tov thought 1740 would be the year, so what did he do? He tried to make Aliyah in 1740. This was the big change. For years, the Jews thought, we need to wait for Mashiach. If 1740 is supposed to be the year, then we'll wait for God to show us 1740 is the year. This was the big change, whether it be the Gra or whether it be the Baal Shem Tov, they proactively tried to turn these years of 1740, of 1781, of 1840 into years which had meaning. And that was the big change in their teachings, that they tried to turn these years into years of meaning because the sources said they would be. Okay. On the next page, and the page after, are the Hasidic Talmid Chachamim. We are going to mention, they're in English, so if you want to take it home, you can fill in the gaps because of the time. But Rav Emanuel Chai Riki and Rav Chaim Abulafia were two Talmid Chachamim. Rav Emanuel Chai Riki was from Italy. He made Aliyah twice. Once, he actually made Aliyah, but it didn't work out, so he came back. The last time he made Aliyah, it succeeded, then he went back to raise money. Unfortunately, was kidnapped, and didn't make it back. But that wasn't because he was in Israel, it was because he was back in Chutzlars trying to raise money. And Rav Chaim Abulafia was from a rabbinic family. He passed away in 1744. They both also taught these years of 1740, of 1781. It's not just a Hasidic or Misnagid thing. It's not just the Litaim and the Hasidim who had these ideas. It was, if you believed in Kabbalah, you accepted it. Did that mean the Taimanim or the people who were Maimonidean believed in these years? Probably not, because they didn't have the same sources or they didn't see such importance to these sources. But if you had the Zohar as a source, you had the Arizal as a source, universally it was accepted these years had importance and they acted actively towards it. And to plug my shoe at the end of the second paragraph, as it progresses in 5600 on page 10, an advanced phase of the redemption will occur, the wellsprings of divine wisdom. My shiur is called the wellsprings of wisdom. So wellsprings of divine wisdom will be revealed to humankind, which is very similar to the Gra. The Gra was a big believer in revealing the hidden Torah. And what's interesting, I haven't brought any sources to prove this, so you have to believe me, the Rav Kook was big into all these things, revealing the hidden bits of the Torah, making it accessible to Amcha so they understand how deep the Torah is, and being Makarev, he adopted the Gra, he adopted the Baal Shem Tov, he adopted Kibbutz Galiot, he tried to make a synthesis of all these different ideas. Okay. And to finish, just to finish this piece on Rav Emanuel Chai Riki, during this time, we're in the middle of, we'll just read the last bit on page 10. In some calculations of the end of days, are the oxygen that fans the flames of messianic tension at all times? A fortiori, after the Sabbatian crisis, at that grim time, the traditional Judaism needed not only to reattach itself to the mortive Torah and to purge demon circles, but also basing itself on messianic expectations to re-reckon the end of days. The calculations ranging from 5500 to 5541 established a new emphasis on the pre-messianic era. During this time, as I will show, Kabbalists would take sundry and diverse actions to fulfill the messianic potentials of the time, from Chaim Abulafia's attempt to rebuild Tiberia through mystical activities of groups of Kabbalists and Hasidim, including the Baal Shem Tov and his disciples, to the Gaon of Vilna's attempts to establish an agreed and final new Shulchan Aruch. If we turn it over just to Rav Chaim Abulafia, we know that the way Israel was destroyed was Yerushalayim was destroyed first, and then eventually Tiberia was destroyed. According to the Masorah that Rav Chaim Abulafia had, he doesn't note the source here, Tiberia is the first thing that needs to be rebuilt. Tiberia was destroyed in an earthquake and had been desolate for years. Rav Chaim Abulafia, even though he was 90-something at that age, he rebuilt Yerushalayim with the aid of the local Ottoman ruler of northern Israel, because he wanted to tax the Jews, not in a bad way, he wanted profit, so he invited the Jews to come back. And he rebuilt Tiberia in 1740. He saw that as an active way of proactively bringing the redemption. By rebuilding Tiberia, it will eventually bring the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the rebuilding of the rest of Israel, and that was their proactive way of doing things. Whether or not we understand the Baal Shem Tov completely, it's clear that both of the Gra, all the Gra, the Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Chaim Riki, Rav Emmanuel Riki, and Rav Chaim Abu Rafi were believers in being proactive. And even though the Zohar says these years, we don't just wait for those years to come. We have to be active before they're coming to try and set up and make the events happen. So that's what we've seen today. These four different Rabbanim and their Talmidim who were trying proactively to bring the redemption. Are we there yet? No. Do I know any more ends, any years? Can I hint anything else? No, I don't know anything any other years. Haven't seen any sources. But the point is, Baruch Hashem, things have happened. These years, things did happen. Was it what the Baal Shem Tov wanted to see? The Baal Shem Tov wanted to see miraculous things. We haven't yet seen a miracle which the Baal Shem Tov wanted. We are still only seeing the natural ways of Kodesh Baruch Hu according to the Gra, so we can still hold on to the Gra. And hopefully tomorrow the Baal Shem Tov's redemption will happen, a miracle in a day. But until that time, we can hold on to the Gra and live our natural way of the Medina being rebuilt, slowly but surely. Thank you very much.